This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وبعد اسم الله الملك اسم الله الملك and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, when it comes to his name الملك, there are different wordings of it. Do I have control of this? Do I have control? Okay. I don't have control of this. No. No, hold on. This was off. I do. So in the categories of his name, subhanahu wa ta'ala, we talked about attributes of divine judgment, of provision, of support and aid, of presence. We covered al-hayy al-qayyum. And attributes of domination is what we're going to be talking about today. Some of these categories won't get two names because there's not enough days in Ramadan or weekdays in Ramadan to do two each. There's 12 categories times two, that's 24. I don't have 24 days to do. It's only 22 sessions. And there's an introduction and finale, so it's only 20 days altogether. So attributes of domination, which is talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's strength or Allah, to dominate. And there's many names that describe his domination, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm choosing out of these names, Ismullah al-Malik. Because it's an umbrella name. A lot of the other names have similar concepts. So, but from this category specifically, we will talk about two names. The one before I only chose Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum, which is technically two names. But for the domination, I'm going to take two names, and today I'll talk about Ismullah Al-Malik. You'll find Ismullah Al-Malik, the Quran comes in there's Al-Malik, there's Al-Malik, there's Al-Malik, there's Maliki Yawm Al-Din, and there's Malik Al-Mulk. And they're all the same. I'm just going to talk about them as one because they're all very similar with very, very subtle differences that are just explained through the linguistics of the Quran. Ismullah al-Malik is in the Quran five times, and the rest of them each are in the Quran just once. Al-Malik or Maliki Yawm al-Din or Malik al-Mulk, each of them just once. But Ismullah al-Malik is in the Quran five times total. It's an important name because it describes the nature of the relationship, or at least one nature of the relationships. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the Quran, literally at the end of the Quran, He talks about the nature of the relationship that we have with Him, that He has with us. And the relationship between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is three things. الرُّبُوبِيَّة He is our caregiver. He cares for us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who watches us as we grow, as we move along, as we fall, as we succeed, and He helps us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He aids us. That's Ismullah al-Rabb. And it's a name of compassion. It's a name of love. Because al-Murabbi, someone who raises someone else, cares about the person that they're taking care of. Ilahin nas, and I'll talk about the Malik at the end, just because it's the point, is the one that is worthy of worship. This is what, Rabb is how He's taking care of you. Ilah is what you are going to end up owing, how you have to see Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, as one that is worthy of worship, worthy of service. He is the one that you turn to. And then Malik, which is the actual description of the relationship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He loves you, you're Rabbik. Because He loves you, He forms tarbiyah, He takes care of you, He watches over you and tries to teach you, He gives you good, He gives you bad, And you worship and serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the actual relationship, the description of the nature of the relationship is that He is the King and that He owns all and that He owns you. He owns me, subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know that word is not popular. People don't like it because it's misused throughout the world that we live in today because of the history of slavery on earth. People don't like the word. But regardless of that, he put that aside because even when there was slavery, people did not own other people. If you understand this name, it'll help a lot because no one can own anything really, and you can definitely not own another person because he already has an owner. I can't own you and you can't own me because we already have owners. We have al-Malik subhanahu wa ta'ala, He owns us. It's stamped on us. Mulkullah, we are a part of His sovereignty, we're part of His kingdom. We can't, for us to own anything makes no sense, and for someone to own us also makes no sense because you can only own something that doesn't have an owner. You can own something, there's no owner, so you can if you find a way to own it. But something that has an owner, how do you own something that has an owner? You can't. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who al Malik? He is the king. So he owns it all. It's all him. It's all his. He owns not only my body, no, he owns my soul. Ana mulkullah. I am the I'm a part of his kingdom. I am a possession of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's ownership on every aspect of my existence. When you think about that, it changes a lot of how you understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where he says subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقِّ. Supreme and exalted is he, the king, the righteous. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. Blessed is he, the one who's in his hand is the sovereignty and the kingdom. The surah is called Al-Mulk. In Surah Al-Tabarak, it's a juz' where every surah helps you understand how you're going to perform outreach or spread the message and do da'wah. The first surah talks about the knowledge that you have to have, what you need to know. Al-Qalam talks about the ethics you need to have. Al-Haqqa talks about the spiritual, your spirituality. And Al-Ma'arij talks about your behaviors. Surah Al-Mulk talks about your knowledge. What do you need to know? The name of the surah. The first thing you need to know is that. To him, بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. He is the one who owns everything. It's all his. Everything that you see around you belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything. How does he oppress someone if everything that someone has is his, including the someone themselves? Oppression requires to take something that is not yours and put it somewhere where it doesn't belong. That's oppression. Oppression, the concept of ظلم, وَضُعُ الشَّيْءِ فِي غَيْرِ مَحَلِّهِ. Putting something in its wrong position, because it shouldn't be there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do that, if he owns everything? So, the ulama said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't perform ظلم. Like it's impossible for him to do so, because he owns everything, and there are no rules. There are no rules. Whatever rules exist, he made up. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are you following this line of logic? I can oppress you because I don't own anything, because you and I are separate entities and there are rules and laws. So I can oppress you and you can oppress me. It's possible. Like there's a possibility for it. But when he owns everything, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no one to put any rules of any sort, and you say the word rights, who says that? Who's speaking up and saying the rights of who in his kingdom will dictate their rights from where? What rights do you have if he owns everything, subhanahu wa ta'ala? We don't own the earth. There are rights then for us when we're born on it. We should be able to live on earth. We shouldn't have to pay for living on earth. We shouldn't have to pay for the place that we sit on. We shouldn't have to beg for food. We shouldn't. It's earth. No one owns it. It's all of ours. If you're born on it, then that's it. This is where you live. But it's not ours. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he owns everything. So how does he oppress? How can oppression occur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's why the scholars would say, لو عذب الله الأنبياء ما ظلمهم وحاش له أن يفعل. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to punish prophets, he would not have oppressed them. And he would never do that, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because how do you perform ظلم? I'm owned by you. You own my body, you own my spirit, you own my soul, you own everything about me. How do I ask you? Who am I? I don't have a separate entity from you to come and demand something. The entity that is demanding something from you is owned by you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows for it. He allows for you to own, he allows for you to be, and he put rules for you. But he is the king, Jalla Jalaluhu. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ فَأَنَّا تُؤْفَكُونَ. That is your Lord, the one who has the sovereignty, created everything. There is no deity but him. So where are you going? 15 times in the Quran, لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sovereignty of this cosmos and the earth. لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا فِيهِنَّ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. He says, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You don't know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to him belongs this cosmos and the earth. وَمَا لَكُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مِن وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. You will not find anyone who who has the ability to stand by you or support you aside from him or without his permission. قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَمْ مَنْ يَمْلِكُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارِ وَمَنْ يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَمَنْ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرِ فَسَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ فَقُلْ أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. Say, who is it that offers you provision from this, within this universe? Who owns the hearings? Who owns the eyesight? مَنْ يَمْلِكُ Who owns them? He owns them, subhanAllah. They're his. You and I see and we hear. It's not ours. It's not ours. It belongs to him. He'll take them back. He'll take them back anytime he wants. So just take them back. You don't get to hear anymore. You don't get to see anymore. He owns them. وَمَنْ يَمْلِكُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. And who is the one who extracts life from death and death from life? And who is the one who takes care of the matter? They'll say, Allah, say then, أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. Where is your mindfulness? Where is your piety? Where is your proper etiquette when you speak to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you truly believe that? Most don't. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Say, O Allah, the King of Kings, or the owner of kings. Malik al-Mulk, more accurately, is the owner of kings. King of Kings is Malik al-Mulk. That's how I like to translate. But Malik al-Mulk is the owner of all kings. He owns them all. Any king, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns him. He is just a property of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we all are. You grant sovereignty to whomever you wish, and you take sovereignty from whoever you wish. And you elevate the status of whomever you want, and you bring down the status of whomever you want, and khayr is only in your hands, and you are capable of Allah, capable of all. Jalla Jalalullah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you hear in the Quran how he talks about the subhanahu wa ta'ala, about false idols or about other creations, قَالَ وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ مَوْتًا وَلَا حَيَاةً وَلَا نُشُورًا. And they don't own the ability to die. They don't own the ability to live, and they don't own the ability to be resurrected. And he talks about it again, وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرًّا. They don't own for themselves the ability to bring benefit upon themselves, nor do they own the ability to bring harm upon themselves. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ لَكُمْ رِزْقًا. The people that you go after instead of Allah, they do not own provision. Not even provision. They don't own maut or haya or nushur or nafa or dar or provision. وَالَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ مَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِن قِطْمِيرٍ. The ones that you call upon aside from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not own the little covering of the date, القطمير, something that small. They don't own that. وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا أَصْغَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْبَرَ. And they don't own even the amount of an atom in the cosmos, in the earth, or anything bigger, or anything smaller than that. إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Forget about that. وَلَا يَمْلِكُ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِهِ الشَّفَاعَةِ. Forget about owning things. They don't own anything. They don't even own the ability to intercede if he does not offer them the ability to intercede. Not even shafa'ah. They want to say something? No, they can't say anything. No. رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَ الرَّحْمَانِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُ خِطَابًا. They don't even own the ability to speak on the Day of Judgment. They don't even, لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُ خِطَابًا. They don't own the ability to even open their mouths and say a word, nothing. They own nothing. لَا مَوْتُ وَلَا حَيَاءُ وَلَا نُشُورُ وَلَا نَفَعُ وَلَا ضَرُّ وَلَا رِزْقُ وَلَا ذَرَّةُ وَلَا قِطْمِيرُ وَلَا شَفَاعَةُ وَلَا خِطَابُ. Nothing. They own nothing. No one owns anything. However, in the Quran, he also talks about those whom he granted.
لَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنْ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ.
You see the one who argued with Ibrahim about his Lord, because his Lord gave him sovereignty. That's why he was arguing. If he was poor and had nothing, he wouldn't be arguing. But he was a king. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him sovereignty. He was given, figuratively speaking, for a short period of time, the ability to rule over a small piece of land. That's all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the ability to rule over a small piece of land and over a small group of people for a short period of time. That's an earthly king. That's an earthly king. That's it. Rule over a small piece of land, with a little bit of people, for a small period of time, and then you die. And no one cares. And no one ever cares again. No one cares. You know the names in the of all the dynasties of the past? You know the succession of the kings of England or the kings of France or even, you know, count the Khalifa Abbasiyin. Forget about count them. Start with who's the first one? You know who the first one is? The second one. I could do trivia and you would all fail. No one knows. I don't care. And I don't blame you. Why would you care? It's a king. Who cares? Kings, they don't mean anything for a small period of time, small group of people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it mulk. And he uses the word. وَآتَيْنَا آلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مُلْكًا عَظِيمًا. I granted the Ibrahim and his family a great sovereignty after the difficulties that Ibrahim alayhi salam went. He talks about Dawood, وَآتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَعَلَّمَهُ مِمَّا يَشَاءُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him mulk and granted him hikmah. وَعَلَّمَهُ مِمَّا يَشَاءُ. The same thing when he talks about Talut alayhi salam. Allah آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكَ وَشَدَدَنَا مُلْكَهُ وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْحِكْمَةَ وَفَصْلَ الْخِطَابِ. He talks about Dawood, and we strengthened his mulk. He had a strong kingdom. Sulaiman قَالَ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَهَبْ لِي مُلْكًا لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّن بَعْدِي. And grant me a sovereignty or a kingdom that no one will ever have after me. So he was granted. فَسَخَّرْنَا لَهُ الرِّيحَ تَجْرِي. He was given all that what he asked for. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses that terminology. I'll give you mulk, but he'll grant it, and he'll take it away. Because it's his, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't own it. It's not yours. You don't own anything. Everything that you have right now on earth is just with you temporarily. Just think about that for a while. When you lease a car, you rent a home, it's clear. Like, you have more clarity on that. It's not mine. But the moment you pay for the whole thing and it's yours, you start thinking it's mine. It ain't yours. It's still not yours. It's just you don't have to pay other people for it anymore. That's all. Well, you still have to pay property taxes because Allah Zihum al-Khair, yani here they don't want us to ever, not yani be able to live. But aside from that piece, you start seeing something as, oh, I own it. I paid off my car. I own it. I paid off my house. I own it. Not really, no. You don't own anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns it. And he'll take it back. And soon you'll die. Soon I'll be gone. And everything that I own will no longer be mine. The moment you pass away, your wealth is not your wealth. You can't control it anymore. And you can write whatever you want, and it doesn't matter. It's not yours. I want all of my money going to charity. Sorry, it's not your money anymore. You're dead. It's not yours. Yeah, but I want it. I don't care what you want. You're dead. It's not yours. You don't own this anymore. Well, except you're in the third. That's it. But I don't want my son. I don't care. It doesn't matter. This is going to be distributed how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, because He owns it. You don't own it anymore. It's not yours. The moment you're gone, it's not your wealth. It's not your house. It's not your car. You don't own anything. You're gone. As you always knew you were going to be. So it's not yours. And in this life, just if you accept that, even when you own things, you live better. When you know who actually owns them, you just live better. What will you do? The way you see the world around you, how you react to losing things or gaining things is, It's his kingdom. When Allah offers the mulk, there's barakah in it. When it's asked for, there isn't. When Adam alayhi salam was swayed in Jannah, how did Iblis sway him? قَالَ يَا آدَمْ هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكِ اللَّا يَبْلَى. How would I point you to the tree of eternity and a kingdom that will never die? It's attractive to the human being. It's very attractive. King, ruler, to rule, it's attractive. It goes against our nature, but it's very attractive to us. To control things is very attractive. We're not designed for it, though. We're ibad. We're not kings. We're not kings. We're ibad. He did that, so he lost everything. He ran after that mulk, so he lost everything, alayhi salam. The moment Fir'aun said, أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكُ مِصْرَ وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي. Don't I rule over the land of Egypt? Am I not the king of Egypt? And all of the rivers run under my feet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ran the sea above his head. He thought he was the king, and the sea and the rivers run under his feet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ran the Red Sea above his head. Are you king now? How about now? You still king? No, you still king. قال آمنت أنه لا إله إلا الذي آمنت به بنو إسرائيل وأنا من المسلمين. الآن now. Now. It's too late now. It's too late now. Weren't you the king? Were you not the king? The moment you ask for it, it changes. Changes, not the same when you ask for it. He'll give it whenever he wants. And he'll take it back when he wants. The moment you think that that's the goal, there's no barakah in it anymore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it back. On the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ Who is the sovereignty in the hands of today? لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ It's for the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one and the subduer. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ ثَمَّ رَأَيْتَ وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ ثَمَّ And if you... ثَمَّ is not ثُمَّ. ثُمَّ is later, after. إِذَا رَأَيْتَ ثُمَّ You see and then you see. No, that's... وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ ثَمَّ Meaning if you look at what it is that's in front of you, ثَمَّ meaning what's actually in front of you, What do you see? You see na'iman, you see pleasure. Wa mulkan kabira, and a huge kingdom. Yawm al-qiyamah, you stand and you see a kingdom that you didn't even understand existed to begin with. And you stand in awe of what it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created and what is there beyond the small universe that we live in. That's what you see, yawm al-qiyamah, this mulk kabir, and you will be granted access to it. Yarwi al-imam Muslim. Qala an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يطوي الله السماوات بيمينه فيقول أنا الملك أين الجبارون أين المتكبرون Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He folds the cosmos in his right hand and he says I am the king Where are the oppressors of the earth? Where are the arrogant of the earth? ثم يطوي الله الأراضين بشماله فيقول أنا الملك أَيْنَ الْجَبَّارُونَ أَيْنَ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ And then he folds the planets in his left and he says, I am the king. Where are the oppressors of the earth? Where are the arrogants of the earth? Also, Imam Muslim narrates the Prophet ﷺ would say, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ فِي الثُّلُثِ الْأَخِيرِ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends in a form that is... that suits His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not compare Him to any living thing, nor do we see Him subhanahu wa ta'ala within time or within space. We accept what He says, Jalla Jalaluhu, either as it is or we understand it figuratively. He descends subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last third of the night. فَيَقُولُ أَنَا الْمَلِكُ أَنَا الْمَلِكُ أَنَا الْمَلِكُ مَنْ يَدْعُونِي فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ مَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُنِي فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ مَنْ يَسْأَلُونِي فَأُعْطِيَهُ He says, I am the king, 3 times. Who will call upon me so I may respond to them? Who will supplicate me so that I may respond to them? Who will ask me for what they want so I may give them? Who will ask for forgiveness so I may grant it to them? جَلَّ جَلَّ اللَّهِ He says, عليه الصلاة والسلام in the hadith, أَلَا وَإِنَّ لِكُلِّ مَلِكٍ حِمَى أَلَا وَإِنَّ حِمَى اللَّهِ مَحَارِمُ Every king has protected land. And the protected land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is maharimuhu. Is the stuff he said were haram. That's the protected piece. He's the king. And the protected property is the haram. Don't touch that. The rest of it, so go, enjoy. هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ ذَلُولًا فَامْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ In Surah Al-Mulk, he says, I made the earth for you easy. It's nice and flat for you, you know, to walk upon, even though it's not flat, but it's flat for you at least. فَامْشُوا So walk upon it. وَكُلُوا And eat from the provision that I put there for you. Enjoy. Enjoy this beauty that I created for you. It's not yours though. Just remember it's not yours. And stay away. My hima, the protected land, that's the maharim. That's that which I made haram. Understanding and comprehending the fact that that's the nature of the relationship is how we live with this name. The way that we live with his name, subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-malik, is by understanding the nature of the relationship that we have with him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I say I'm a servant, I'm a abd, Abd is someone is owned. That's not only when I talk about ubudi, I talk about service, because that is what it results in terms of your behavior, in terms of your behavior. In terms of your view or perspective, it's different. So this is the level of ubudiyya that is spiritual. Service is the outcome of ubudiyya in terms of behaviors, of what you're going to do. Understanding that you're a abd will result in you going and serving, because that's what you do. You're a abd. I'm a abd. That's my job. My job is to serve, not to own, not to rule, not to control. I may be granted that for a short period of time by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I do it based on the fact that He granted it to me for a short period of time, and that He will take it back whenever He wants subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I do it. But the consequence or the result is to serve. That is on a behavioral perspective. From a spiritual perspective, understanding that you're a servant means understanding that you are owned. You have an owner. Someone owns it all. I'm a piece of property belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That comprehension takes a little bit of time. You know? Because we are very, especially now, when we are extremely focused on our you know, individual liberties, which is important. These liberties are the the barriers between you and I, so that we can live in peace. You have to have your liberty and I have to have mine, so we can live. But within the context of that liberty, where we are not, we have to understand who owns us. Actually understanding who owns us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, allows us to live with liberty amongst each other. Because how do I take something from you, or how do I oppress you, or how do I own you? Or if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns the both of us, it makes no sense for there to be some compounded ownership within an ownership that is already set out. It's already set up. He owns us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the way you live with this name is, number one, you understand the nature of the relationship between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second one is, make sure that you behave within His kingdom the way that He wants you to. Like the way that everything that you're touching, He owns it. And everything that you're in control of, that's His. So tread carefully. Tread with caution. This isn't yours. So you have to make sure before you make decisions, before you behave in any form or manner, that this is something that the king himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is okay with. Malik al-Mulk, the owner of kings, is okay with, because it's not yours. And yet, people will go and do what they want. And they'll oppress and they'll persecute and they'll murder people and they'll take lives. They'll come back to Malik al-Mulk. They'll come back to Maliki Yawm al-Din, the ruler of the Day of Judgment, the owner of the Day of Judgment. And they'll stand and you'll ask them about what they did with the small amount of power that he put in their hands for the small amount of time that they were around. You think about it, that's all it is. You're not born with power, you're born with nothing. It takes until you're 40 or something, or a bit more, before you can actually establish if that's what you're after. And then between 40 and 70 tops, kings usually live more than 30 years. What's 30 years? What's 30 years in the age of the universe? It's nothing. It's not even worth talking about. The reign of a king is pathetic. The reign of any king is pathetic. It's an amount of time that no one cares for, that no one will remember. All that will be left is that if that was used well, or if it was used unwell, that's it. Whether Yawm al-Qiyamah they'll be able to say, Ya Rabbah was granted. That's why the last of the Anbiya to enter Jannah, Yusuf and Sulaiman, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. They'll be the last ones to enter Jannah. They were kings on earth. They come late. There's a lot that they have to answer for. They lived a life where it was maybe their hearts were humble, but the position they were in was not. So it needs to take time before they go. Al-Fuqara wal-Masakin enter way before them by, the Prophet ﷺ says, by 40 years and 50 years, and by years. They enter Jannah before them in years. You've been there for years. Years before the king can enter, because he took upon himself a name that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even the most pious of them have to stand and have to answer questions. I hope that was a benefit to you. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khair. Barakallahu fikum. Assalamu alaykum.